Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning. How are we doing this morning? So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning right here on WLIW 88.3 FM Southampton, serving Eastern Long Island and Southern Connecticut, 96.9 in Western Suffolk, and streaming at WLIW.org/radio and on your favorite streaming platforms. Each show is archived on my website at annliguori.com, that's A-N-N-L-I-G-U-O-R-I.com, and distributed on my podcast via Audio Boom and iTunes. Well, the Florida swing in golf on the PGA Tour is in full swing, starting with the Honda Championship taking place at PGA National in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. And this morning's show will focus on not only this longtime PGA Tour event, but also the beautiful venue for it, PGA National. Many of you are probably familiar with PGA National. Brookfield Properties purchased the resort several years ago and proceeded with a $100 million transformation that includes beautiful new rooms, suites, and cottages, new dining concepts, along with their 6 championship courses, their new 40,000 square foot spa, a variety of salt and thermal pools in that area, fitness and health club, members club, and so much more. This morning, you'll hear all about the resort's transformation with Philip Tevney, the Director of Sales and Marketing here at PGA National, Jane Broderick, their longtime Director of Golf and Club Manager. You'll hear about the 6 golf course offerings, including the new 9-hole course called The Staple, the new layout called The Match, and of course, the infamous Champion Course with the bear trap holes 16, 17, and 18, 3 of the most challenging holes in golf. Honda is ending their 42-year run as a tournament's title sponsorship, and it will be interesting to see how the PGA Tour handles the schedule in 2024. This year, because the Honda Classic is surrounded by tournaments that are designated by what the PGA Tour are calling elevated events with $20 million in prize money, many of the top players sit this one out because they don't want to play 5 straight weeks in a row. And the prize money is not as high as it is in the elevated events. Only 4 of the top 30 players are playing in the Honda, and no top 10 players are here, which is a shame because this PGA Tour event is loved by the community, the fans, and the event does so much for charity. Hats off to Shane Lowry, the 2022 Honda Classic runner-up, who plays in this event, lives in Jupiter nearby, and really understands the importance of supporting this important tournament and his home community and giving back. Same with Billy Horschel. It's great that the PGA Tour has come up with more prize money in these tournaments, but the tournaments that are not designated elevated tournaments certainly do take a hit, and I think that is unfair. This morning, you will hear my conversation with Ken Kennerly, former tournament director of the Honda Classic and current senior advisor, board of directors, executive director emeritus. Ken and his team have done a wonderful job making the Honda Classic such a beautiful part of this Southwest Florida community in so many different ways. And I personally believe that the tournament deserves better treatment from the PGA Tour and the powers to be. Hope you enjoyed this show on PGA National and the Honda Classic. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Philip Tevney, Director of Sales and Marketing for PGA National here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Philip, thanks so much for coming on Sports Interview.
And it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much for joining us again this year. We can't wait to show you around and have you experience once again this fantastic weekend that we're going to have.
Well, you know, I've been coming to PGA National for many, many years, but this is our first visit here with the transformation, and it's just lovely. Talk a little bit about overall what's been going on here.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, so the PGA dates back to a few years back, right? And the hotel has, and the resort has gone through a fantastic phase of transformation. We reopened and relaunched the resort last year, and we've had a fantastic transition year. Now the resort has, and is more of an all-encompassing resort, offering not only golf, obviously, because this is part of our DNA and part of where we're coming from, but also allows guests to now enjoy anything related to family gathering, family activities, but also all kind of leisure wellness activities all around the resort. So we're just excited at the prospect of being able to continue to show the guests, our past guests, but also new guests coming to the resort, all that we have to offer. And really, as you mentioned, and we talked about that a little bit, is that the resort is a way now, or a place where you can actually have everything available at your fingertips. You don't really need to actually go anywhere else. Once you park your car after that, you can have a fantastic week here, leisure or working here at the resort, and have everything available to you.
So let's talk about some of those details, the swimming pools, the spa, the cuisine, the opportunities for the young people to do a lot of things, not just golf and swim, but there's a lot of activities, the wellness. Give us some of the detail about everything that you have here.
Absolutely. So when we redesigned the resort, we actually thought about families. We also thought about couples wanting to come for a weekend, short weekend, or even staying for 6 or 7 days. So we have actually a way to customize for each of those clientele a different kind of experience, coming from activities where you can actually just have a leisure stay, just staying at the pool and enjoying drinks and food from all of our different outlets. We have a variety now of outlets, 6 total, three of which are well known here. So we've got, for example, Honey Bell with Lindsay Autry, which is who's been nominated, or he is a James Beard Award nominee. We also have the Butcher's Club, which I understand you explained it yesterday, which is a fantastic steakhouse, and I don't want to qualify it as a steakhouse because it's much more than that. It's a very creative steakhouse headed by Jeremy Ford, one-star Michelin. He just got his first star Michelin last year. So it's a fantastic experience. On the culinary side, we've got plenty of experience for the guests to experience, not only for the adults, but also for the kids. We have a fantastic diner. And I don't know if you've been to Birdie's. Great experience. We also have an ice cream shop. And then on the wellness and health and wellness part, we have this wonderful spa. I know that you've experienced that yesterday, and it is a 40,000 square foot spa where you definitely will have the best experience you can have here at a spa. We also completed that with additional services, either for men and women in terms of manicure, pedicure, but also for your hair. If you want to have a hot shave, you can certainly go to the spa for that. So definitely a plethora of activities here available to you.
Yes, I experienced the spa, manicure, the pedicure, salon, beauty salon. We were going to a black tie event, so I needed to get the hair done after golf. And everything, as you say, is right here. So who are the people coming in? You have a lot of Northeasterners. You said people from the Midwest are coming, people from Texas.
Yes, absolutely. And we've been very lucky with the weather so far. Obviously, a lot of people from the Midwest, Northeast, obviously, Southeast as well. And there's a variety of stay, meaning that you've got guests that are coming to celebrate things, guests that are here on business as well. You can come here on business, attend a conference here, or organize a conference yourself. And we're very strong with, for example, on the business side, with what we call incentive groups. So groups of companies that want to reward their guests or their attendees or their staff by bringing them to the resort, having a little bit of an activity during a business activity during the day, and then giving them a plethora, once again, of activities around wellness, health, wellness activities, and sports throughout their week here. So definitely a very eclectic kind of clientele, all coming for a different reason to which we can actually cater.
Of course, the golf, 6 championship courses. We'll be talking to the director of golf a little later in the show, but the opportunity to play a variety of different courses, Tom Fazio, Arnold Palmer. I mean, there's so many different designers involved here. And then you're right here. You can go to the spa. You have interesting different, a variety of saltwater pools at the spa, right? Very relaxing, and the jacuzzis. Then, of course, the big pool. As you walk into the main resort hotel and go through the bar area, you look down, and there is just a gorgeous pool. And I know everything's been redecorated, right? And they say it's more Palm Beach decor. It kind of reminds me a little of the Beverly Hills Hotel almost.
Absolutely. So the redesign and the transformation of the resort actually was started and was done a few years ago, and we wanted to tie back to our DNA, which is obviously the location, the where we are in the Palm Beaches. So everything ties back to the early ages or early stage of Palm Beach, and I think you'll see throughout some very subtle manifestation of that redesign. And we did it in a fashion that is edgy, but yet very contemporary, and I think we think we'll live through the next 10 to 20 years. So we're very excited with what has been done in terms of decor as well, because I think it transports as well our guests to an era that was the era that many people refer to 10, 20 years ago in the Palm Beaches, and we're so excited to be able to adjust it and adapt it to the contemporary and modern world in which we are.
There's a lot of kind of Art Deco influence, Birdies. I love that diner. Just the Art Deco feel of the interior design. A lot of pinks, a lot of greens, a lot of black and whites. It's a really kind of a really warm, feel-good, you know, classy sophistication to it.
Right. There's a lot of elegance, I think, that oozes out of the transformation. I think, once again, the designers really made sure that this design fits many different standards. And I think it's just altogether a fantastic resort. And let's not forget as well that we're only 339 suites and rooms, to which we also added, and that's part of the design as well, 21 cottages that are just fantastic. We just completely redesigned them. We actually enlisted the assistance of Serena and Lily, that beautiful high-end furniture company that helped us redesign those cottages. They're a fantastic product when you come out or come here with maybe some friends of yours to play golf, but also with families. They're a little bit off of the main resort. They're in that beautiful surrounding, just around the resort, so just 2 or 3 minutes away from here, and gives you access to a self-standing cottage. So a little bit different from the traditional product that we have in terms of rooms and suites as well.
And the Health Club Fitness Center offers so much for resort guests and members.
Yeah, it's almost a given, but yes, you're absolutely correct. I mean, you can go to the gym for an hour or more. You can enjoy croquet. You can enjoy tennis, pickleball. We just are finishing our pickleball courts right now. We're going to have 6 beautiful brand new pickleball, which is a sport that is definitely taking off right now. If you've not tried pickleball, you've got to try it. It's for all audience, by the way. It's for the youth or the young and the older as well, oldest clientele. So it's just, once again, an array of services and amenities that is just fantastic.
Of course, the Honda Classic is taking place this week, the PGA Tour event, and it's all very exciting, all built up on the Champion Course, right, with you know, the hospitality suites, and so many people come through those gates every year to enjoy the Honda Classic. So it's great to host a PGA Tour event.
It's a tremendous opportunity that we're being given every year. It's a staple of this hotel. We obviously, this is at the peak of the effervescence of the activity here at PGA. And this is also a testimonial to the fantastic events that we can organize here. Bringing a world-class event like a PGA tournament is just amazing, and it's not given to everybody, right? It's awarded to the best of the best in terms of hospitality, hotels and resorts, and we're so proud of all the team that work on this this event every day. It's an event that takes a lot of interest and a lot of planning, and we're so proud to also have within our resort team members that are so experienced and are so well entrenched in the highest level of hospitality here that we can definitely are very proud that to have this event happen every year. And that's also why we're entrusted by PGA to host that event. And we can't wait to continue the partnership there.
And I understand PGA National has a new partnership with Blade.
Yeah, so we actually, this is breaking news, we are actually launching today a partnership with Blade, which is an air transportation provider flying from directly from New York all the way to PBI. And from PBI, you can actually jump on, after your jet commute, then you can then jump on a helicopter that they also provide and land right on the grounds of the resort. So really, it's very easy to come from the Northeast, from New York specifically, or from Miami, if ever you are in Miami and want to take a helicopter ride all the way to the resort. It's a fantastic opportunity to enjoy the resort in a different way as well. So very excited to launch this partnership with Blade. They are a fantastic partner, and we look forward to this partnership and to getting more of our clientele actually fly directly into PBI and then after that take the helicopter and land directly into the resort.
Well, we're taping this interview right here at the Butcher's Club, where we just wined and dined last night. It was extraordinary. And it's really become much more upscale, the whole resort, not only with the restaurants and, of course, Jeremy Ford, who won Top Chef, is the chef here at the Butcher's Club. And it's upscale, very sophisticated, very elegant with the decor and the cuisine. So Brookfield Properties has really kind of raised the bar, don't you think, Philippe?
Absolutely, and that was one of the things that we wanted to do in many different levels. At every single of those outlets that Brookfield has redesigned, they made sure they actually picked the best of the best. For example, as you mentioned, the Butcher's Club, obviously, Jeremy Ford has placed his mark on this place, and is unique in the area. And you'll see, and as you go downstairs after that to Honey Bear, where you'll see Chef Lindsay Autry, then you'll have a different kind of cuisine, but yet also very elegant and so well designed as well. So in every single of those different outlets, I think we've tried to elevate the experience in a different way and bring also a variety of culinary experiences. What you're going to find at Butcher's Club is different from what you're going to find at Honey Bell, and also what you're going to find at diners, at our diners, which we totally redesigned, which is also amazing for kids of all ages that maybe have never seen a diner as it used to be 20 or 30 years ago. So it's just a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah, as I mentioned, Birdie's, the Art Deco decor, I just absolutely love how it was designed. And then Honey Bell's is more of a kind of casual elegance, but the food's extraordinary. And you can sit indoor or outside near toward the pool. And the cuisine has been top notch.
Yeah, so I want to talk to also the indoor-outdoor options that we have here. And as you said, we've got more than 1,000 acres all the way around the resort. And we're a small resort. We're only 339 rooms and suites. So it's definitely a resort at human scale, if I may say that. So although we're a small resort, we have a lot of outdoor spaces. So we can do a lot of different things. This summer, for example, we're thinking about launching some camps for the families, giving activities or opening some new activities, for example, archery, those kind of things to add to the level of activities that we already offering. And we can do that because we have the space. As you said, we've got 6 golf courses around us, which allows us to do a lot of different things on those different golf courses or outdoor spaces.
And there's an arcade in one area I saw for children, right? An ice cream area?
Absolutely. We thought about that as well. You're great. So you, I'm glad you had a tour of the resort because you're right. For the kids, when it's raining maybe 1 or 2 days during the week, if it's raining, you can bring the kids to the arcade. They'll have plenty to do. There's really no downtime here at the resort for anybody.
And Philippe, what about the membership concept? I got the tour of the members club, and how are the members incorporated with the resort?
So I'm glad that you're actually talking about the members. We definitely have a members club that actually we just renovated as well. It was part of the transformation. And the members are key components of our community. You can become a member here very easily and enjoy all of the services that I described as well. So it's really a fantastic place for you to become a member, either as a long-term resident if you want to stay here, or you can be, or you can have probably your secondary or tertiary place here and enjoy all that the members club has to offer.
Well, PJ National has a lot to offer. It's been great experiencing a lot of it, and continued success. Philippe Thévenet, Director of Sales and Marketing for PJ National, it's a pleasure to have you on Sports Interview.
Thank you, Anne, for coming over, and we can't wait to see you again next year.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to welcome Jane Broderick, Director of Golf, Club Manager here at PGA National. Your 37th year, Jane. Wow, congratulations. You must love it so much that you just can't get away.
That's an absolute truth. My team is amazing. The property is amazing. So why would anyone want to leave?
I love that. So let's talk about the property, because there's been a lot of changes, a lot of transformations, not only with the resort property here at PGA National, but the six championship golf courses.
Yes, new owners have touched every inch of this property, including golf course space, and we're very excited about all the new offerings that we have, including a new par 3 and our new match course, which is unlike anything in South Florida.
So let's talk about the par 3, because that seems to be a trend at some of the more well-known resorts around the country, a par 3 course.
We've had a lot of fun with it. So it's a 9 holes, and they play in a natural figure 8. So there's a natural crossing spot in the middle for socialization. We have picnic tables out there, Adirondack chairs. We play music. So it's really just a fun environment. I envision that soon it will become a wedding venue as well. But we've just had a lot of fun with big groups out there, member play, member events. And even this past Tuesday, we had our first ever Pro-Am with the Honda Classic tour players out there.
So the par 3 course is called the Staple, and then the other new course is called the Match. Tell me about the Match.
Yes, both of those properties were designed by Andy Staples, the golf course architect. Great guy. Love working with him. So what we did is we took the remaining 16 holes of our old Squire golf course and turned that into 18 holes of the Match. And the premise is that there are a lot of old template greens from the golf courses in Scotland. We have a Baritz, we have the Thumbprint, we have a lot of different things. But we don't have traditional tee markers. It's not rated. You don't have to post a score. We have marked the maximum and the minimum yardages, and you play anywhere in between, and we're really touting match play formats.
Oh, interesting. So how challenging is it?
It's a tough golf course. The greens complexes are very undulating, and they're a lot of fun. And so if you can't fly the ball, or if you don't have a good short game, you're going to struggle a little bit out there. But it's all about being creative and where you want to play from and using your strengths in a match compared to your opponent. Sometimes it's the loser that picks where they get to play on the next hole. Sometimes it's the winner. It all depends on what we're doing that day. But we allow groups, of 6 and 8 guys out there in the afternoon, to that golf buddy group that really wants to go out and just have fun. And they're playing an alternate shot, and they can have a 6 or 8 out there, and they'll play in under 3 hours and have a great time.
And the other courses, we played the Fazio course earlier in the week, which I like the Fazio course a lot. It's manageable but yet challenging.
The very first golf course to open here at PGA National was the Fazio. And if you think about it, it opened in 1979 or 1980. And the ladies' tees are at about 5,800 yards. So that's pretty long for a lady set of tees. But a very fair golf course. It's been touched by 3 generations of Fazios through the years with different iterations of the golf course. But it's a tried and true members golf course. Our members love it. It's the most popular with the members.
And then the Arnold Palmer course.
The Palmer golf course, a link-style golf course, the 9s don't return, 8 and 12 share a common green, much like the golf courses in Scotland. Some of the renovations we've done, we've added some coquina cart paths and some natural grasses, redone the irrigation and things like that, so that's another great golf course.
And am I missing anyone aside from the Champion course? The Champion course, home course of the Honda Classic all these years with the bear trap, which everybody labels as the toughest 3 holes in golf. Talk about the Champion course. Have they done anything different to it in, say, the last year or two?
This past summer, we redid all the bunkers with a better Billy bunker, so everything is done. That was the one criticism that we had gotten from the tour players over the years, was a lack of consistency in the bunkers, so that was addressed this year. And the reports that we're getting from the players this year is it's the golf course is in the best shape they've ever seen it. So hats off to our agronomy team, headed up by our director of agronomy, Aaron Seaman, and the champion superintendent, Andrew Wilson.
And the bear trap. What makes the bear trap the three toughest holes in golf, do you think?
A lot of it has to do with the prevailing winds. So 15 is a par 3 with water on the right-hand side. Traditionally, a prevailing left-to-right wind can push those balls out into the water. 16, you end up then dead into the wind with a second shot over water to a difficult green. And then 17 is basically at the same angle as 15, so the prevailing winds can just push the balls right into the water on the right.
But it makes for some incredible finishes here at the Honda Classic, right?
Yes, and we're looking for, you know, a really great show this week. We think the players are really going to have a lot of fun. And you know what? There's not much difference between number one in the world and number 150. They're all great. So there's going to be great golf, and we're very excited. And I know the community is extremely excited.
So if you're not a professional and playing in these PGA Tour events, the course, wow, over 7,000 yards. It does have five sets of tees, which is good. You can really, you know, basically tee up from a lot of variety, a lot of different places.
Yes, that's one great thing about all of our golf courses. We have the ability to set the golf courses up really difficult for professional players or a little bit easier for amateurs. So all of our golf courses are very playable by all skill levels.
And what about the instruction? Because I understand there's David Ledbetter Academy. There is the Dave Pouse Scoring Game School, which is so important. You can crush the ball off the tee, but if you don't have a short game, if you can't score, make the putts, then that score is not going to, you know, get better. So talk a little bit about the teaching facilities.
Yeah, so we have two practice facilities on property that are double-ended ranges, and then our estate golf course also has a range. So we have actually another academy at the estates called Full Process Golf. So here at the main facility, we do have the Ledbetter School with certified Ledbetter instructors, the Dave Pell Scoring Game School, and we also have a few PGA and LPGA professionals that teach as well. Tim Cantwell, who's a good player in his own right, Warren Bodkey, who anyone is in the industry knows Warren Bodkey, and then Gene Bartholomew, who used to play on the LPGA Tour. They're all part of our instruction team.
And they teach right here at PGA National, they have all these different courses that they, you know, have the opportunity if they're teaching, you know, course management and want to go out actually with their students on the course. There's so much here that they offer.
Yes, and so everything from standing on the range and, you know, the high-tech technology to just the blank eye giving a lesson. But one of the added features that we have now is the staple. And that has become a tremendous teaching opportunity for not only our core instructors in Gene, Warren, and Tim, but the Pell School uses it a lot as well because they're focused on short game. So what's better than that?
Wow, what I'd love to just play that every day. Really, just to work on your short game.
It's really three clubs and a putter. It takes about an hour to play, and we don't have set tee markers out on that golf course either. You can basically play to any green from any angle that you want.
And what would be, say, the longest yardage on any given hole there?
As it's set up normally, 132 yards would be the longest, so 60 to 132. But when my team plays it, my staff goes out to play, and they come up with some really creative teeing locations, you can come up with some much longer holes.
So you must just have a blast because there's so much variety here for you to manage. And, again, you're not just managing the golf, right? You are managing other sports.
Yes, I oversee all the sports, including tennis, racquetball, pop tennis, pickleball, which we're going to have six courts in another few weeks, so that's going to be a great addition. We have croquet, which is another – most people think it's a dying sport, but here at PGA National it's starting to grow again, so we're very excited about that. So everything sport-related is under me along with everything retail. So we, you know, and this week our big focus is our fan shop, which is behind number 9 green of the champ, and we expect to do a significant amount of revenue this year and have a lot of sales because, let's face it, it's all collectible at this point.
That's true. With Honda, after 42 years of a title sponsorship, all that is very collectible. What are your thoughts going forward about this PGA Tour event and new sponsorship and maybe in a different date so that some of the, you know, top players would come back and play the course?
Yeah, a lot of those things are far above my stratosphere when it comes to that. That'll be at the tour level and whatnot. But, you know, we have a tremendous history in the golf tournament. You know, the 87 Ryder Cup, the 83 PGA Championship, 18 senior PGA Championships, and now the Honda for 16, 17 years. It's a historical venue, and I think the players like it. I think the tour likes it. And I'm very confident that Andrew George and his team will secure a new sponsor and will be fast and furious and even better and bigger going forward.
Well, there's, as I said, there's so much here to offer the fan, and the local fan of this tournament, the fans just love it. There's so much passion and enthusiasm for this event. They come, you can really get close to the players, interact with them, just the way it's positioned, even when you're in the hospitality tents or the stands, you feel like you're right there. It's the way it's set up gives it a very personal kind of connection to the players, and that there's just a personal connection to the community. So much charity work goes on. There's a lot. The First Tee program is out there. I saw Dennis Walters and his dog, Gussie, giving a clinic out there in the range. I mean, there's just a lot of that every day. There's a different event going on for the community, for different organizations, a lot of charity work. And I think the community really embraces that. And, you know, they love it. And it would be a shame not to have that every year.
Yeah, I think it would hurt the tour long run, you know, if we were not to have an event. It is very well supported by the community, and that's shown by the vast numbers of volunteers that come out and help run the event. You can't do an event like this without volunteers. A lot of those volunteers are our club members. And I know that they want this to be the best tournament yet, so we can pay tribute to Honda and all they've given to the PGA Tour over their 42 years.
So with your job description, just give my audience an idea of what you do. Forget about this week during tournament week, but day to day, I mean, what's your normal day like? You might not have any normal days, but give us a sense of what your day to day is like.
Well, we joke that there's no 2 days that are the same at PGA National. It's the variety. You know, some days we can have a big member event or a big resort event or just casual play. So there's a lot of balancing of schedules and things like that, interacting with the team, assisting with resort and their sales and trying to get groups to come here, liaising with the property owners associations with any issues we may have with homeowners and the golf courses. You know, it's a lot of fun. I have a team that I absolutely dearly love. Some of us have been together 25 and 30 years, so we know we can rely on each other, and we just love challenges. And that's one of the reasons that this week is so much fun for us, because the bigger the better for us.
Right, and it's a fine line between servicing the resort guests as well as the membership, right?
That is definitely a very delicate balance, and I'm charged with that every day. And, you know, you have to think about it. We have roughly 3,000 members of the club. Not all of them are golfing members, but 3,000 members that participate across the property. You know, we'll have 1,000 members that utilize our sports and racket club every day. So we have to make sure we have the right classes and the right instructors and enough personal trainers and everything else. Growing the pickleball community. We had 2 courts and 20 people that played pickleball. Now we still have 2 courts, and we have over 120 people that are playing, and we're soon to have 6. We're going to be hosting national events soon. So it's just another avenue for us to expose PGA and Palm Beach Gardens to the world.
It's unbelievable. I walked into the Health and Fitness Center today, and you know, there are chair yoga classes going on with so many women, and then the fitness classes, and then the stationary bike, what do you call it? The Peloton. I mean, the place, there was so much going on, so many different offerings. Obviously, members and resort guests can partake in all of this.
Yes, and that the interesting thing is, you know, here it is tournament week, and we're still playing players on the other golf courses. We're putting, you know, 1,000 players, participants through the Sports and Racket Club. So we're still fully functional and open, even though we're hosting a tour event.
What are your thoughts of the overall transformation of the resort itself, the decor, the restaurants? You know, the cuisine's been incredible, the spa. What are your personal thoughts about how it's transformed?
I think it's stunning, and I think we're extremely fortunate to have the ownership that we do. They took us over right before COVID, and a lot of ownership groups may have taken their foot off the gas for a renovation with COVID slapping them in the face. This ownership group pushed forward, expanded their scope of work, and they've touched every inch, and every inch it's understated elegance that's at a world class that I didn't think anyone could create, that has a theme across the whole property.
Absolutely. You said it. Elegance, sophistication, yet offering so much variety for men and women, young and old. I mean, they've done a great job kind of, you know, embracing everybody and making it, keeping it so classy and sophisticated. Well, continued success, Jane Broderick. You're just so amazing to continue to do what you do. Your 37th year, director of golf and club manager here at PGA National. Let's do it again next year. Continued success and congratulations on everything that you've been able to do here at PGA National.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to talk to Ken Kennerly, Senior Advisor, Board of Directors, Executive Director Emeritus for the Honda Classic. And Ken, we've known each other a long time. It's always a pleasure to visit with you and to have you on the show.
Thank you, Anne. It's great to be here. I love what you do, and the way you represent this great sport is fabulous. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you so much, Ken. That means a lot coming from you. Honda Classic, this is the last year of Honda's sponsorship of this great event after 42 years. It must be, bittersweet for you maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think it is. First of all, it's a celebration of 42 years from American Honda. We've had a tremendous run. We took over this event after 06, so this is our 17th Honda Classic, and it's been a quite a great run for us. You know, when we took it over, we moved it from Mirasol across the street here to PGA National, where it's currently played, and, of course, the iconic Bear Trap and the great resort and the investment the owners are making back in this property. It's been a terrific run, and this is such a phenomenal facility. It offers so much in arguably one of the best places in the planet here in South Florida.
So tell my audience who might not be familiar with everything that you would have done for this tournament through the years.
Well, when we took it over, I mean, I think a lot of people remember the way the PGA Tour was kind of managed and marketed many years ago was from an operational standpoint. It was, you know, purely an event designed to attract people that played golf. So, you know, the old Honda Classic had 40,000 fans pretty much for the whole week. So when we took it over, we had to think out of the box. I put a whole marketing strategy together. We call it our 52-week marketing plan, because you need to stay in front of your consumer, especially down here in South Florida. You know, Palm Beach County is such a phenomenal place to live, but there's so many things to do that if you don't stay in front of your customer and your consumer, you know, people aren't going to come. So what we've done, and I think, you know, very successfully, we've got a great team, but, you know, we started building out the Bear Trap. We started building out 15, 16, 17, the Bear Trap holes. Of course, we have 18, but we created a lot of fun. This is not just an event to come watch golf, because, again, you don't need to market yourself to the golf audience. People will, the golfers will come to the PGA Tour event wherever it might be. But from our standpoint, we needed to create something special. You know, we live in a community that people love to be outside. They love to be entertained. You know, I say quite often, enthusiasm is contagious. It really is. And the energy level out here from 2007 to today is off the charts. I mean, it starts up at the Bear Trap on Friday afternoon. Of course, first round is on Thursday. But this, the electricity that people feel around this property and at this golf course is again, over the charts. So a lot of it is the strategic plan that we put in place in 07. And each and every year, this gets bigger and better, and we hope to surpass, you know, a couple hundred thousand fans once again this week. But most importantly, we hope to continue to generate tremendous money for charity. Jack and Barbara Nicholas are our primary beneficiaries. Last year, we gave $6.4 million in total to not only the Nicholas Children's Healthcare Foundation, but, you know, 99 other charities as well. It's a philanthropic machine, and that's really what Joe Dye created, as you know, in 1969 when the PGA Tour spun away from the PGA of America, was let's create an event each week generating money for charity. So that's really, at the end of the day, how we measure our success.
Well, Ken, it's become such a beloved event in the community. People love coming here, and as you say, you know, the interaction with the players and the different ways you set up the hospitality, and you get very close to the action, and it's fun. It's kind of, you know, the East Coast version, maybe a classier version, if I may say so myself, of the Phoenix Open, right?
You know, it's we get that comparison quite often. I will tell you totally honestly, we didn't aspire to be waste management. However, I love watching the waste management. I've been there. I've seen the excitement and the energy that they have, obviously, on the stadium hole, and now it's carrying over to 17. But from our standpoint, it took on a kind of a world of its own. I mean, we kept growing. We created more fun. We have 24 public activation structure. So when you come out here and you buy a grounds ticket, you can go sit in a upscale area. Now, we're able to do that because I have great partnerships. So we have, you know, the Gosling's Bear Trap. We have Tito's open to the public. You have an FPL patio. You have a Garden of Life area. You have a Trugine area. These are all higher-end structures for the general grounds ticket holder. And it's really taken on well. I remember talking to an old tournament director many years ago, and I asked him why he doesn't have any seats on the golf course for public to sit. And you're sitting on the grass, and if it's moist and you're wet, your pants are getting dirty, et cetera. He goes, why do I want to invest a dollar? I've already got their money at the gate. I mean, what a terrible, terrible strategy, right? I mean, that was so myopic, that was one-dimensional. So the first thing we did was try to find the partners that would allow us to create this higher-end feel for the general ticket holder. Then, of course, we've got higher-end ticket packages, you know, shared hospitality, et cetera, et cetera. But it's really working, and people come out here, as people will see on television, people come out here and they have a great time.
All right, so let's talk about the future. How difficult is it for you and your team to basically get new title sponsors and other sponsors without knowing what dates the tournament will get next year?
Well, you know, we're in an active search for a new title. We have 4, 5, 6, real corporations looking at it. Our date will probably be very similar next year. However, there's an extra week that's going to roll back into the calendar that we had 3 years ago. And I know it sounds funny, but it does. We get an extra week back, so to speak, the way the calendar falls. So we've met with the PGA Tour, and we're waiting to see what that really looks like and what that means. But we've got the assurance that we're not going to be wedged in between these two elevated events like we are now. Actually, we're wedged between two elevated events on either side of us. So this year is an anomaly for us, but starting in 24, we're going to have a much better date, and we're going to be able to communicate that to our prospects here shortly.
What are the chances of becoming an elevated event? How is that decided by the PGA Tour, and how would that affect this event?
Well, as you said, the tour is going to make the final decision. I think right now, with our place on the calendar being before Bay Hill and then, of course, before the Players, it's probably going to be difficult for us to get into that elevated status should we even have a sponsor that wants to pay the additional, $5-6 million on top of what a traditional title sponsorship would pay. So we're not as concerned about that. Yes, it would be great if we were able to get a partner that were willing to spend that extra money. But in the meantime, you know, we've created so much fun and energy and action out here that if we can just get a date that's you know, free of the handcuffs of the elevated events around us, that'll give us an opportunity, frankly, to get a lot of the players that live here to come back and play. Right now, it's difficult for them to play. I get it. I've been in this business like yourself a long time, and a lot of these guys are not going to play 5 in a row. You know, hats off to Billy Horschel this week and Shane Lowry and Sungjae Im playing 5 in a row, ending with the the Players Championship. It's a difficult run indeed. But you know, I think going forward we're going to be in a much better place.
I was talking to Shane Lowry earlier today, and I asked him about his schedule, and he's played 8 of 9 events, and he's still here, Ken, because he lives here, his second home, obviously, away from Ireland, and he says he loves this tournament, and he can sleep in his own bed, which is a bonus for him. He can rest other times, you know, to kind of peak for the Players Championship and the Masters. But I thank Shane for coming, because it really showed a whole new side to, you know, to him. And just the fact that he would take the time to play in this local event, I think, is really great of him.
Oh, I think it's terrific. And, you know, let's not forget, last year he was in the driver's seat until that monsoon rolled in when he was on the 18th tee. And it was funny, he was trying to delay, and the PGA Tour was, you know, you can't delay. But he had a great run, and he's certainly going to be one of the fan favorites this week. And you know, I hope he does really well. But to your point, he loves it here. He lives here. You know, it's a tremendous commitment. And you got to remember, the fifth event is the Players' Championship. And that's the major. I know it's not a real major, but that's the major for a lot of these guys. And they want to be buttoned up and ready to go. And, you know, I can't thank Shane enough. And I thank you for thanking him as well, because, you know, we've got to continue to thank these players that go out of their way to help us.
Is there anything that can be done to get more of these local guys to play in this event? You know, unfortunately, it seems like money rules everything now, right? You know, you have the whole money and the live conversation, and a lot of the guys are on live that can't play any PGA Tour events because the PGA Tour won't allow that. But you have a lot of guys who aren't on live who live close by. What are the odds of getting any of those guys back?
Well, I think we will. I think a lot of it is the schedule, frankly. Again, Rory's won here. JT has won here. You know, they want to come back. It's just the schedule right now. And, you know, the big names aren't going to play more than three in a row. As I said, they're getting ready for the Players' Championship, and then shortly thereafter is the Masters. So they're setting their schedules, you know, around performing at the top of their game as they enter those two early season majors, so to speak. And then, of course, the PGA is in May. So, you know, these players are looking at, you know, where will I be in top form? As we all know, you never really know when your game is at top form. But I think from a planning standpoint, the schedule is paramount. It's not about money anymore. I think it's the schedule, and I think it's where you're comfortable. As you said, Shane Lowry sleeps in his bed, gets out, rolls out, and plays. I think in the olden days, 10 years plus ago, that was a huge asset. But right now, it's less of an asset because, again, it's more about the schedule.
And Shane said he's the Iron Man of golf, and you got to love it. I hope he does really well this week. He's such a good guy. So talk a little bit about your day-to-day here at this tournament, Ken. What do people need to know that you do on a day-to-day? Because it takes months to prepare for this, and come tournament week, what's your day like?
Well, you know, I've got the luxury of a phenomenal team. You know, Andrew George is our new executive director. He was I brought him in as an intern probably 12 years ago, and he's done a phenomenal job. He's seen every aspect of the management business, and he is no doubt a quality leader, and he will take this tournament to new heights. You know, my role is as a senior advisor to the board of directors. I report to the board. I'm also the executive director emeritus, which sometimes means you got one foot in the grave, I guess. But, you know, from my perspective, it's the, you know, 35 years of history in my career in the golf space. It's my relationships with not only the local corporations and the PGA Tour, PGA of America, et cetera. You know, so for me, it's more of a relationship building role that I have. So all week long, I'm in several meetings, just saying hello to people. You know, obviously, we're talking to prospects for the new title sponsor as well all week long. So, you know, while I'm not as involved in the day-to-day, in the nitty-gritty, I'm proud of what we've put out here. You know, this was a vision we started back in 07. And it just every year it gets bigger and better. And I'm just so proud of Andrew and Jordan King, our director of operations, and the rest of our great management team.
And Ken, from a business perspective, why would a company title sponsor a PGA Tour event? If, you know, just again for my audience's sake, what are the benefits of coming in, obviously, as a title sponsor?
Well, there are many, of course. You have the, let's start with the television component. So, you know, you've got a major event on a network, whether it's NBC, in our case NBC and the Golf Channel, or the other would be CBS and the Golf Channel. You know, the event doesn't only draw millions of people into the event each and every week. Locally and regionally and in America, the PGA Tour goes to 220 countries around the world. We have 27 hours of live and taped broadcast. In our case down here, obviously, it's phenomenal from American Honda. They have ad units in the broadcast. We're able to spin 50% of our ad units into other NBC broadcasts as well. So that's the television component. I mean, it's enormous what the PGA Tour has done. And again, that doesn't include the social media and their partnership with Discover and all that other. But then, of course, the entertainment side. Honda has 100 dealers here. They have other business unit leaders here, other vendors and customers that are here. They're playing in the Pro-Am. They're enjoying the hospitality that we have out on the golf course. And, you know, I think when the PGA Tour does their reporting, the economic impact not only of our event in our community is over $60 million, but while a title might spend, call it, you know, $13, $14, $15 million a year, not including their internal costs, you know, the tour will show you that you're getting a return, you know, in excess of $60-70 million. And it's pretty significant. And, you know, obviously the PGA Tour has been very successful, and there are no sponsorship opportunities available other than ours right now. And I think we'll be very successful in quickly identifying our next partner.
I mean, the hospitality component alone, these guys come down here, they play golf, they have a great time. You have the Pro-Am parties, right? You had the Ryder Cup captains who were talking to the amateur players. And, I mean, just that hospitality factor alone is, I would think, people would really enjoy that component of it.
Oh, It's phenomenal. I mean, again, that's why the PGA Tour model is extremely successful. You know, the ratings are great. The fields are for the most part, fabulous. You know, we're going to have this week, we're going to have, no doubt, you know, a tremendous ending. We always do here. When Jack Nicklaus imagined the bear trap and those three of the hardest holes in succession on the PGA Tour, then you add in a little South Florida wind, which we always have, and the pressure of coming down the stretch, it's exciting. And, you know, we're going to have an established player win this week, or, of course, perhaps it's an opportunity for a young guy like a Pearson Cootie, who he gave an exemption to, who's a super young man and obviously with a tremendous career ahead of himself, or somebody else. We don't know. But that's what's exciting about the PGA Tour and the game of golf is, as Jay Monahan said to me earlier this week, you know, a new name will you know, rise at each and every PGA Tour event.
Do you feel that Jay and the PGA Tour are very supportive of this event and enjoy coming here every year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had good meetings with Jay and Andy Pazder yesterday, and South Florida, Palm Beach County. I mean, this event's not going anywhere. They love our growth. They love the charitable impact we've been able to make, not only for the Nicklaus family, but for all these other charities that we touch each and every year. You know, this event will always be on the calendar. It'll be here at PGA National. You know, should a sponsor, you know, approve all that. But there's no better place to play this tournament. Again, you know, what do you do to replace the bear trap if you were to leave? So we're not going anywhere. The event's not going anywhere. We're going to have a great time this week and looking for that next partner.
Yeah, just walking around, seeing all the people that come out during the practice rounds and during the actual tournament itself. There's so much passion and enthusiasm for this event. And as you just mentioned, all the community benefits in so many ways and all the charity components, people really appreciate that and really, really have a great, deep passion for this event.
No, they do, and that's really what we aspired to do when we took over the event. We wanted people to come out here. We have families. Tire Kingdom is a great partner of ours. Saturday is Tire Kingdom Family Day. The kids get a ball, a blown-up ball that the players are signing. We have 1,000 balls for the first 1,000 kids that come through the gate. You know, we have entertainment Thursday, Friday, Saturday night behind the ninth green on our terrace there on the Secret Terrace. We have fireworks on Friday and Saturday night. So we've kind of created something for everybody. So, you know, the hardcore, you know, male, female wants to come out to the bear trap and enjoy themselves and have a few beverages, that's there. You know, you've got Tito's, again, open to the public. You have all these other great partners that we have. But then, of course, the family side. Kids 15 and under are free. Families are, you know, if you think in today's world, the cost of going to the movies alone for a family of four, it can be pretty expensive. So, you know, we're actually a great value for families that want to come out here and spend time. And it's a safe environment for kids to run around. And what we're trying to also do is build the game of golf, build a fan base. And we do it by creating events, frankly, that people are going to have a good time at. If you go somewhere and you're not having fun, you're probably inclined not to participate in that activity, whatever it might be. So for us, growing the game of golf is paramount. Growing dollars for charity is, as I said earlier, is paramount as well. And it's just, we're very, very fortunate. And as you said, I mean, I love seeing all the smiles on people's faces out here. People have a great time, and it makes me very happy, because that's what we aspired to do in 2007.
And the centerpiece beyond the tournament, the Champion Course, the transformed PGA National Resort itself, pretty special here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've got new partners. Brookfield bought this resort a few years ago from Walton Street Capital, another PE firm that bought it. They put money into it. Brookfield's put, you know, over $100 million into this property alone. And, you know, this resort is terrific, and they've been a great partner of ours. It would be hard to find a better place to play a tournament at this level. We have 300,000 plus square feet of build. There are not many golf courses that can handle this. We're a core golf course, meaning that, you know, the course is all inside, so it's not a development course where you're walking a ton. It's very spectator friendly for our fans, and it's just proven to be, you know, one of the greatest ballparks, so to speak, to use the baseball analogy, on the PGA Tour.
It's a great venue, great tournament. Continued success, Ken. Thanks so much for joining me here on Sports Interview.
You're the best. Thanks, Ann.
My thanks to Ken Kennerly, to Philippe Thévenet, the Director of Sales and Marketing at PGA National, and to Jane Broderick, their longtime Director of Golf and Club Manager. As Charles Swindoll once said, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. Have a great week, everybody. Be well, be safe, be kind. And I'll talk to you next Saturday morning right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.